Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the evolution of our consciousness, how we're expanding as more aware beings, more conscious, more creative, more expanded human beings, and how we can use the facilities of our awareness to increase who we are, what we know, and what we can create. So that is why I'm talking today to my good friend, Dominique Molly Mehrhoff, and we are together holding a workshop. We're holding an introductory evening, September 18th, at the Edgar Cayce Center. That is 241 West 30th at 7 p.m. And on Sunday, we're doing a whole day workshop on multidimensional awareness, being, activation. I think it'll be very, very exciting. That's from 2 to 6 p.m. at the Edgar Cayce Center, 241 West 30th Street. You can just show up at the door, and costs are, I think we're charging $35. Right? $35?
That's correct.
Okay. So getting into what these 2 days will be about, and what me and my friend Dominique have been discussing, actually last few years we've actually given these workshops in Australia. Did we do something in London as well, a little brief crop circle thing?
Well, you came and did the crop circles. That was amazing.
Right. So, but what we're really discovering together, me and Dominique and many, many other people, is that we are not confined to a way of thinking that we've been conditioned to believe we are. That we're capable of what we call multidimensional awareness, which people like Deepak Chopra call non-local awareness. So there's many ways of looking at that. So let me ask you, Dominique, how do you define multidimensionality?
I guess for me, the term multidimensionality might be a bit confusing or even a bit new age for people. The way I define it is just the evolution of consciousness.
But what does that mean? But I have to say that everything is evolving consciousness. Why bring dimensions in your terminology? What do dimensionality have to do with all that?
Right. I just think we're in a time where suddenly our awareness is expanding. We can become more aware that we actually create our experience, we create our world, and we can start to co-create with life itself. So it's moving from a kind of a victim state or an adolescent state of consciousness where life is happening to us and we're kind of, it's like we're driving the car with just sort of front and back, and suddenly we realize that in the car there are all these gear shifts and we can go sideways, up and down, and that creates a much more profound effect on how we create ourselves, our lives, and our world.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I would add to that by saying, I think you sort of said that we have different ways of using our mind.
Yes.
So we're not, we've been confined by a psychological framework. We think in terms, everything has to do with what we've called psychological motivation or the psyche. Everything is in us, you know. Our actions, our awareness have been programmed into us. And what we're talking about is that there's a field out there that we can access through activating, I would say, like different muscles in our awareness.
Exactly.
So we could become aware of different aspects of our environment that go beyond psychological factors.
Yeah.
You know, so if I'm hearing voices, doesn't mean I'm crazy. It could mean I'm channeling, right?
Exactly.
And channeling is still fringe, but you know, on BBS radio, everyone does that, you know, or, you know, throughout this evolution of consciousness, even Deepak Chopra said to me, oh, I'm doing what you would call channeling, you know, when I'm writing these books about his, particularly his novels. So we have to, so this is like a big theme of some of the shows. Psychology and psychiatric paradigm says you can't hear voices outside of you because you're crazy.
Right.
And I say there's some there are people who are crazy, for sure. I mean, I've met them. I've hung out with them. And you can tell. Uh-huh. And then there are people who actually access a field that's beyond this dimension.
Right.
And can get information that they weren't so aware of before. Does it make sense?
Well, in the work that I've done with a colleague, we created this whole system called Sacred Life Alchemy, and a lot of the work was asking them to tune into themselves for their inner guidance. And my colleague was a muscle tester, so we were always muscle testing. People always wanted confirmation that what the inner guidance that they got was accurate. Mm. And 99% of the time, it always tested that it was accurate, no matter how far out it was. So I kind of saw that everybody is online with their inner guidance, but then the mind comes in and doesn't trust it, you see.
The mind versus the inner guidance, you see.
Yeah.
There's no distinction of that in most people. Most people think... Well, most people don't even believe there is an inner guidance
to begin with. They mistrust what they get.
And actually, that inner guidance is connected to the outer field. We can call it the field.
Uh-huh.
I say it's like this. If you didn't know you were connected to the internet, or if there was an internet, all the information that you'd be accessing, if you were at your computer, you would think someone had to program that into the computer and upload, right? And someone else might say, well, no, there's this other way to get information. I'm tuned into the field and I just open the airport and I get information that's not on my computer, right?
That's exactly it. So yes. The whole technological revolution is a metaphor for the inner awareness that we have access to, but that generally, at least in the mainstream, we're not aware that we have access to and how much it can do for us.
Right. And that's what Deepak, again, my good friend Deepak, is calling non-local awareness. Uh-huh. I'm accessing through the internet non-local. Local is what's on my computer.
Uh-huh.
Or what's in your brain through your memory and experience. Non-local means that you are transcending the personal, because you have to transcend the personal, and accessing something non-local in the ethers connected to other beings.
Something universal, something greater than just personality-based information.
Yes, personality-based information is good. Ramtha used to call it people, places, things, and events.
Uh-huh.
You know, so there's something more than just our awareness of that. And that is the non-local mind or the field or multidimensional mind or the quantum zero point. I mean, many, many people are speaking about this and bringing it into a new paradigm of thinking, a new way of thinking.
Mm.
And that's still at odds with a scientific paradigm that says, no, impossible, impossible, you know.
Well, science will catch up when they catch up. But, you know, in a way, we're scientists. We're inner scientists.
Right. And that's what's the difference between Eastern and Western movements. The West went outward saying, you know, they're looking at the observable universe. And the Eastern traditions went inward and we're looking at the internal manifestations. But now we're at a time where we can merge the East and West, the inner and the outer, and create, it's like the left and right brain. We can become whole brain beings, because we are whole brain, you know. We've just, the intuitive mind is the right brain.
Mm.
It's the feminine. It's the aspect of the intuition, the creative, the impulsive even, you know.
And that reminds me of Alex Gray's lovely quote, which is, be an artist of consciousness, make it profoundly, powerfully beautiful.
Yes.
That is what we're going to look at on these 2 days.
Right. In this workshop on multidimensionality, we're going to cover, first of all, this concept that we just discussed, that you are not just your local computer. You have access to the field. You just have to realize how to open your contact, right?
Yeah. I mean, get on your Wi-Fi.
Yeah, how do you tell people to do that in your experience?
Well, I actually just make them do it.
How? So, they have no...
Well, one question I ask is, what does life want to create through you right now? And when they tune into that, we're tuning into something greater than just, what the personality wants and needs, That can be quite profound, actually.
Right. But, I think we'll go to the curriculum, but I think the big concept for people is to know they're not their personality.
Sure.
But most people don't know that.
Right.
They think who they are is their feelings, their likes, their experience, and that's all they identify with.
Right.
And that's been the hard part. I've been teaching these adult education classes. For people are pretty open, but still it's getting them to realize that they're not their personality. They have a personality, just like you have a body. You're manifest through the body, through the personality, but there's something more that's not the body or the personality.
Mm.
So how do you explain that to people?
I mean, I do very little explanation, and I just make them experience it. I ask them questions. They get a feeling. They get a sense of something bigger, something larger. And, it's just experiential.
Right, it's experiential. But what I was getting at is that people are involved with their story.
Mm, absolutely.
So their dramas.
Yeah.
And that's how they identify themselves, right?
Yeah.
So this happened to me. This is who I am. My mother did this. My father did this. This is why I'm acting this way. This story is me. And
I mean, I just, I work with a lot of people, and I teach them to co-create and to work with the field. And what was very made a big impression on me was that given these tools, they were just working within their box. So, for example, people who were sick would do all this inner work just to make themselves have a good sleep that night. And I was thinking, why are they not seeing themselves well again? Why are they not moving out of the box?
Right. The other way of looking at it is that if you can see your story, if you can be the observer of your consciousness of it, then you're not it. If you can watch the television program and observe it, you're not the television program.
Yeah.
That's the same thing with our stories.
Yeah.
The same thing with our ways of reflecting upon ourselves.
Well, one morning in my meditation, I heard this voice say to me, rewrite your story. And so, I spent a very long time just rewriting it. And instead of saying, I had all this family drama and this and that, I wrote, the moment I was conceived, all the angels came around and were cheering me on, and I just reframed everything.
I like that. And we should put that in the course.
It's such a beautiful exercise to reframe your story.
I like that.
Your story is just what you keep on perceiving, but actually the wholeness of your experience is much larger than these simple events and the way you perceive them. In fact, often the events didn't even come in the way you remember them.
Yes. No, I think yes. And what we think is the memory of them is something that we actually use as excuses for our behavior.
Yeah. I mean, actually, I'd like to tell a story about a friend of mine. And she's this woman who's an absolute goddess, totally juicy and wonderful. And she emanates love. She teaches about love. And I had this fantasy that she had this gorgeous mama who was just so loving and caring. And then one day she said to me that she was raised in an orphanage, which totally blew my mind. And when she was 16 and they were releasing her, they brought her into the office and they said, so how was it for you being raised in this orphanage? And she said, orphanage? I thought it was just a big house with kids, lots of kids. So, where one person would make that a reason to define themselves as damaged, for her, she was just free about it. She was expansive. She didn't create a story about that experience.
Right. So how do we get over that, over it?
Well, from my perspective, who we are is just one timeline that we focus on. And if we can access more of the totality of our being, we can choose to shift our focus to actually reframe that event energetically so we experience ourselves completely differently.
How do you understand timelines? How do you define them?
just awareness, sequential awareness, I guess.
How I would define it is there's actually, and I don't even know if this is true, but there's actually aspects of us that are living parallel to this, and maybe a version of you and me, that are married somewhere.
Yes.
You know?
And, how nice would that be?
Well, sure, why not? But there's maybe versions of each one of us that are doing very similar things. This is the many, many worlds theory, but there's also levels of vibration, and according to like a teacher I had said, you can jump timelines.
Absolutely.
So, and we did this exercise, I think, in our, where did we do this? In our, one of those Australian workshops we did, where we talked about how we've always been, you know, talking as if we're coming from the future. You do that in your work. Mm-hmm. So when you talk from a future place, you actually shift the possibilities of the present. So you're actually shifting timelines, which is another aspect of the multidimensional being that we are.
Yeah. I mean, when you become adept at working with the field, you can go anywhere in time, space, parallel. You can go back to the past and change what happened in the past. You can connect to the future. Now, there are many different futures, but you can connect to the future that you'd like to be aligned to and get wisdom, get a transmission, get some guidance around not only vibrationally who you are as that person, but also the practical steps that you want to take to create that reality.
Right. Right, right. So, yeah, we can actually, with intent, shift reality, you know, shift.
Navigating the inner realms. It's like learning to use technology, basically.
Right.
But it's inner technology.
It's inner technology that has not been empowered in this culture.
I think that's because it is emerging now.
Right.
It's like, we, in a way, we're kind of, we and many other people are the pioneers who are saying, you know, we're like the Bill Gates or whatever from many years ago who were saying, try this new way of doing things.
Well, certainly like people like Joe Dispenza are doing, you know, Joe Dispenza.
Yeah, exactly.
And so anyway, the intent of possibilities, the shifting of timelines, the release of the dramas and the stories all open us up to who we really are.
Well, it's like we are the totality, but who we really want to be, you know, who do we want to be? I was at this conference for humanity in London, Humanity and Consciousness or whatever it was, and I found myself transported out of my body at a certain point.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and I experienced this version of myself that was so expanded, you know, in every aspect of my being, and the thought that came to me was, everybody needs to access this expansion, because then we can all be healthy cells in the body of humanity. It's like, if we're living our sort of most fulfilled potential, more creativity is going to come through, more contribution, rather than being in a place where we're not fulfilling our potential, we're dealing with challenges that are restrictive. When we're like that, we don't have much to contribute to the evolution of
humanity. So how do we do that? How would you help?
Well, the way I've been doing it is teaching people to work with the field. So basically teaching them this inner technology of co-creating, working energetically, because that's the foundation of life, basically.
The foundation of life is?
Energetic.
Energetic.
Consciousness.
Yeah. Conscious. Well, there is a distinction between consciousness and energy.
Yeah.
I mean, they say consciousness is the holder and energy is the activator, the movement. It's like Shiva and Shakti. You need both. You need to hold it and move, still and still moving, the awareness of being and becoming. You know, it's like this idea that transcends logic almost. How could you be both at the same time, being, becoming, moving, and still? Shiva and Shakti. So, you know, this just goes along with this idea of this transcending an old paradigm, an old way of thinking. And the more I think people are, I would say, even confused, if we're just playing with the logic that keeps them locked into a simple way of thinking that the world is a particular way.
Mm.
And I think what we're trying to do is wake people up to say, no, it's not any one way.
And you are not any one way. Mm. You are infinite, and you have free will to create your life the way you'd like to.
Yes, create your life, but also access other realms.
Yes.
Other timelines, other dimensions.
Yes.
And just the awareness that we don't think in just linear form. Uh-huh. You know, we've been trained to think linearly. But I think that's a lot of the ADD that's happening. Uh-huh. I think these children are being born with a different facility that doesn't fit into the old boxes, maybe even some autism. I don't know that specifically, but I think there's ways of thinking, like a lot of indigenous people don't think in the kind of linear logic.
Well, you had a very interesting experience this morning where you accessed a different part of yourself. Do you want to share a bit
about
that?
Yeah. Dominique took me into a little meditation where I accessed this, I don't know if it's a part of me, but I would say, let's just say, a shamanic parallel existence, should we call it that? But in this kind of altered state, I was getting messages that we have to, that only Western civilization thinks in boxes, and we, of course, live in boxes, you know, and the way we live influences our thinking. So if we're living in boxes, everything must be in a box, and that's our world. So when we have a concept, we put it in the box. But really, what I was getting is that everything is connected to everything else, and you really can't put anything in a box.
And it was all about movement, wasn't it?
Yes. Everything is fluid. Everything is moving. Everything is turning into something else, which, you know, the Taoists are all part of that. The Tao is the way or the movement. That's like the a different way of looking at the world, which creates more of a fluid awareness to who we are.
Mm.
You know, so it was exciting accessing that. And I think if we learn to see that we're movement as opposed to stationary, that we're changing all the time and the world around us is changing, which is what the Tao says, then we can stay on top of it, stay on top of creation. So getting back to the course that we're teaching and the things we're trying to bring through, one of the other things that has to do with this awareness of non-locality is remote viewing. So, of course, this is, as people may or may not have heard, this is a term actually coming from what the CIA was doing to spy on the Russians or the Soviet Union back in the 80s. Mm. They created a remote viewing program, people who then, I guess, became part of the CIA. But it didn't start out that way. It just started out as a way of accessing the non-local field. And so I studied one of the founders, Russell Targ. I also met the other founder, Hal Puthoff, who was really the beginning, and he met an incredible psychic named Ingo Swann, who I also used to know, who lived around the corner from me.
Mm-hmm.
The three of them started this remote viewing at the Stanford Research Institute.
Mm-hmm.
And remote viewing is simply using the non-local mind, the multidimensional awareness, to view things that are not local. You can actually get a download. You ask somebody, okay, what is your child doing? And you can clear your mind and get images of things that are not in your immediate vicinity.
Mm-hmm.
We all have that ability to send and receive, to access other parts of our awareness. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and we did it with the group in Australia, and I think they virtually all got
They did all get it. It was amazing that everyone has a facility for non-local awareness. It's just exercising that part of your brain.
Mm.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, it's amazing.
So we'll be teaching that. And the main thing that I teach, because I do this with these old ladies on the Upper West Side, East Side, in these classes, these adult education, they do it. They get it. And the ones that are really tuned in are really good. They get it. The ones that are even like more spiritual or aware, that they're not their personality, they get the target easier than the ones that than the people caught up in their story.
Uh-huh.
And that's because there's two things that I like to say. There's the noise of your mind, and then there's the signal of what you want to remote you.
Uh-huh.
So I ask you to, I have a picture of something.
Uh-huh.
I ask you, or I'm even thinking of a place. I'm asking you to remote you or access what it is I'm thinking. Or I ask you to tune into somebody. You don't know where there is,
uh-huh.
where they are. You're getting images. And I ask people to write this down, you know, what is it that you're seeing in your mind's eye? And the big thing is to get out of your story, get out of the normal things that are cycling through your brain every second, through your internal dialogue,
mm.
and get clear and see what comes from that clear space.
Mm.
And when you can get clear of your story, the psychic signal or the remote viewing signal can come to you. And that's what we did in Australia. These people got pretty clear and they were able to access the non-local mind,
mm.
which anyone could do anytime.
Mm.
But you have to get clear, you know. So anyone, you can know what your partner's doing right now if you remove your ideas or what you're thinking they're doing. And it's hard when you're dealing personally. That's why we use non-personal objects.
You may not want to know that, right?
You may not, but you may want to. But you may not even be able to, because there's such a story attached to, you know, what you think that person is. But if you can get clear of things, then you can actually access anything, anywhere, anytime.
Mm.
Could even be in the past or in the future. Actually, I just want to tell one story. At the Ramtha School, which was really opened me up all to all this, because we did days of this in a row,
uh-huh.
what he was called sending and receiving. At the beginning of the course, Ramtha said, I want you to draw a picture that you will see 7 days from now.
Uh-huh.
So I did. I drew this picture that it just came to me 7 days from now. And we did all these different exercises. But at the end of the 7 days, everyone held up their picture. And then I saw the picture that someone had drawn that I drew that it was to see 7 days from now.
Wow.
So, I mean, if people, do you know what I mean by that?
Yes.
So that showed me that we can access who we are, what we are, beyond the time-space dimension.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many ways to play with the field. One I love is when you're working on a project, to do some inquiry and ask maybe the book or the film or your new business how it wants to be created.
Oh.
Instead of imposing your, instead of this old way of struggling and I'm trying to make this happen, I worked with this woman and what she got through was that she wanted to write a book about empowering women.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, well, let's ask the book, how does it want to be written?
Mm.
And, you know, what time of day does it want to be written? And does it want to be self-published or published?
Good.
And once she got all that clarity, then it was just about implementing it, because she wasn't debating this or pushing against what really wanted to be created, you see.
Wait, so she accessed the field of the future.
She accessed the energy field of the book.
Uh-huh.
And there's an energy field, an imprint, a sort of a template for this book. This book in its, you know, in its most expanded expression, reaching the most amount of people. And
right.
then she just inquired, you know, how do you want to be born? How do you want me to write you? Where do you want me to write you? What time of day?
Mm.
You know, what other support do you need to come into the world?
Mm.
So with a business, if you had a business that wasn't doing well, you can do this inquiry and just ask the energy
what
of the business.
What does the business need?
Yeah, why aren't people coming into the shop? You know,
what's
needed?
In the way?
Inquiry is like such an amazing tool.
Yeah, especially when we are aware that we're not the local consciousness.
Exactly. Or even in relationships. Sometimes there's a disconnect in a relationship, and rather than sort of going on the attack or confronting or whatever, if you just go into your inner space and just look at the consciousness, the energy of this relationship and just say, you know, what's going on? What's the disconnect? What's needed? And then maybe it's just comes back, well, leave this person a little space. They need to breathe. They've got other things going on. It's all fine. Or do you understand?
No, I do. I think it's really, really good because if, and like that exercise I did, that time space is also an illusion.
Yes.
That we have access to that, and if there's these parallel paths and the perfect field, or you know, perfect what's his name, Richard Bartlett says about collapsing the wave function.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's the perfect movement that we can tap into.
Mm-hmm.
That wants to be created this way.
Yeah.
So that's another aspect of what we're covering.
It's about eliminating struggle and working on a deeper level to just be much more aligned to what you're really trying to create and to what life is trying to create through you.
What life is trying to create through you, which is not different from what you want to create.
Yes.
People think it has to be different, but it's not different.
No.
And, well, that's I think, is a really important empowering tool. I wonder if, oops, a little construction outside the window
building
here.
Building coming down.
So annoying. But the other aspect, I'll talk a little louder here, is the understanding that there's other life forms. We
yes.
get into the ET
yeah.
consciousness. We get into ET consciousness. So what's your experience of that?
What's my experience of ET consciousness? Primarily through the inner realms, accessing inner wisdom from beings that are not from the dimension that I'm familiar with.
But they're everywhere, right?
In terms of physical as well.
Yeah, physical, non-physical.
Yeah, of course, but I've not had a physical experience with
you haven't?
Things. No.
You haven't?
No.
Do you want one?
Yes. Why not?
Okay, we'll give you one.
Depending on who. Can I vet them first?
Sure. You can tune into the highest ETs possible.
Okay.
But what I get, it's the same thing that we've been talking about. It's accessing another part of our awareness.
Mm.
So actually, ETs are all around us. We just haven't attuned ourselves to that frequency.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And we can.
Yeah.
We can attune ourselves to that particular frequency by just, first of all, being open.
Yeah.
To that level of mind and starting to hear aspects of this consciousness
yeah.
that, you know, that is ready to talk to us. You keep talking, I'm going to close this window.
Okay. I guess it's just the expansion of what we were talking about on a personal level. So on a personal level, if you go within, you can discover a greater multidimensionality. And then when we're looking externally at humanity, humanity is going to expand by also expanding multidimensionally.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. And that's, I think, another big part of the course is the expansion of humanity. I
yes.
think that's why we're doing it. Because I think, did you say earlier that the only way we're going to get ourselves out of the mess that we've created is to be this expanded creative self?
Well, what we were saying is that we needed to make some quantum leaps, and that if we were going to operate at the same level of consciousness which created the problem, you know, that famous quote, that wasn't going to work for us to really move us out of this situation that's happening on the planet. So we need to make quantum shifts, and that's going to happen when we access more of our multidimensional nature, when we get a lot more guidance from within, and when we open up the possibility of creating a radically different world.
Uh-huh. What do you mean?
Well, making new choices. It's like, you know, we're looking at individuals as being in their box, but humanity is in its box. And that's
yes.
why we're making choices that exist within the box, whereas actually we need to completely move out of the box. You know.
Right.
And many people are.
Yes, we actually have to move completely out of the box. But that brings us to another point that we'll be covering, is that we are collective.
Of course.
We're not just individuals, but we're part of a collective field.
Yeah.
And when we shift, even in a small group, and we come into alignment and then shift with that alignment, we can have an aspect on the field of humanity.
Mm.
That's, I think, a big point. And even the field that we've created together,
mm.
in the field that we're creating right here and with the people listening,
mm.
we are co-creating a field right now.
Mm.
and we can intentionally amplify the co-creation.
Well, that's some of the work that we're going to do on the Sunday, is really mm-hmm. work on opening up some portals and expanding the field and just aligning us to new possibilities, mm-hmm. new template for reality.
Well, when you talk about opening the portals, it's my experience, what we're talking about, portals and time, space, and that exists on certain ley lines, actually. But my experience with portals is that the thinking is shifted, you know. Mm. We have to start, it's almost as if you're high or drunk or altered when you're really accessing a portal. There's, it's not quite distortion, but there's changes in the way reality presents itself. Mm-hmm. It's like things are altered. Things mm-hmm. are like maybe fuzzy or sharper, or they're different than the normal way of thinking. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things I want to talk about in this workshop, but is like when we access the portal itself, we shift because of the, we could call it gravitational effects on the realm of consciousness. Mm-hmm. That's actually what's happening, mm-hmm. you know, where our thinking is changing because we're entering actually a field that's generating a different force field itself. So mm-hmm. we're different, mm-hmm. you know. So I think that's really interesting. And that's some of the things we have to start to work in. Altered states of consciousness mm-hmm. in a natural way. I mean, people can alter their consciousness through drugs, of course, but that with that you lose the power of activating an intention, as if you alter your state of consciousness on your own through mm-hmm. deeper meditations, through deeper levels of awareness, and then hold the intention, you're empowered to then change the field. If you do it artificially, mm-hmm. you don't have the same power. Okay. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, there's some realms you can access artificially, but it's something that stays with you when you intend it yourself. Mm-mm-mm. And you activate the portals of awakening yourself. Mm. So that's what's exciting for me. What's your experience with portals and fields?
It's just my own inner experience, because I haven't done any sort of shamanic drugs.
Right.
And
you smoked marijuana, though.
A long time ago, as a musician, but not with any sort of...
But you drink wine.
I don't drink wine, no.
Do you remember what it is to be, like, altered, sort of?
It was a long time ago, but then there was no intention around that. When
right.
I was using substances, I was using them to numb my story, you see?
Oh.
So, yeah, in terms of fields and working for expansion, my experience is just my own inner work, which is going on a daily basis.
But your consciousness is altered, is what I'm getting to.
Absolutely altered.
Right.
Absolutely altered.
Right. And when it's altered, you're not your story anymore.
And you can shift so dramatically, it's unbelievable.
And when you shift and when you're not your story, when your state is altered, you can access more knowledge. Different knowledge. You're actually using a different part of your brain to be aware.
Right.
So, you know, there's a lot going on.
More knowledge and more empowerment as well.
More, yeah, actually, I think empowerment actually happens in those altered states.
It does, yeah.
So when you shift consciousness with intention,
yeah.
those parallel realities can manifest much easier.
Yeah.
And they do.
Yeah.
And that's the fun that I think we'll have in working together, and also collectively, and also that you could bring back to yourself. But I was talking to a woman the other day who called me sort of out of nowhere, and she says to me, she's starting to see these portals, she's starting to get downloads of sacred geometry.
Uh-huh.
I mean, she thought she was sort of going crazy. She didn't know what it was. And I've just told her, you are opening your consciousness to these other realities. And she was happy to hear that. She
right.
was happy to know that, you know, that she wasn't going crazy and that there was a field of awareness she was accessing. And more that is happening to people. It's amazing.
Mm.
It's happening all over the place.
Right.
These fields of consciousness.
Right.
That people are accessing on their own. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I have a few friends who've had Kundalini awakenings, and actually it's quite destabilizing for them. So,
can be.
Yeah. So if the more of us sort of that we engage, it's like, again, it's like the internet, isn't it? At first it was a mysterious new tool, and maybe now it's a bit of a mysterious tool, but the more of us that start to use it, the more we start to function at that level where we are creating on an energetic level, and then we activate things. So if you can imagine, let's say, a business that before you even started your business, you really visioned it out with all the staff all together, creating this really strong field about the potency of the business and who you were going to serve and how it was going to really expand the neighborhood and so on.
Right.
It would be such a powerful tool rather than just kind of setting things in stone so quickly.
Well, that's what Marshall Rosenberg says in his Nonviolent Communication. Now, if you're in business, you're not there to make money.
Uh-huh.
You're there to provide a service or a product that will help people.
Right.
And if you keep that intention, then you will make money.
Uh-huh.
Because you're there to help other people. You're here to be at service with someone who has a need for what you're supplying.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to make them aware that they have a need, or there's a product that they can use to make their life easier,
mm-hmm.
or it says more enjoyable.
Mm.
And when you make them aware of that, plus of course it's junk and you shouldn't be selling it anyway, but when you make them aware that their life can be easier and freer because of what you're providing for them, then that's what the business wants to do. The business
right.
is there to.
The business anyway. Has a consciousness.
Yes, yeah. The consciousness of giving.
Exactly, right.
Because the more you give, the more you get.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, but that's another aspect. But this other thing that I think when we'll tune into is actually, we did this in Australia, having people channel, having people access the field themselves and bring through these thoughts. How would you describe that process?
Well, I mean, you know, again, coming back to my starting point, which is just always asking what life wants to create through you today, or in general, or in your work, or in your purpose, or in your love, you know, whatever it is, and just getting that inner guidance.
Mm. Yeah. Now, talk a little bit about that other work that you're doing, your counseling work.
What do you mean?
What do you call your sessions?
The one we did
yeah,
this morning.
Yeah, yeah. What do you call that?
So I call them soul sessions,
yes.
And basically we look at whatever's going on for the person. We set some intentions, and then I guide them to connect on a soul level. And from the soul's perspective, it is exploring the totality of this being on many levels. There are reincarnational lives, there's the past, there's the future self, and there are parallel selves. And so your soul will then guide you to experience an aspect of you that can give you a transmission, that can sort of empower you to be more effective, more aligned in your life now. So let me give you a personal
example.
Yes,
please.
I was traveling and I found myself in a state of like anxiety, like real stress and anxiety for a couple of days. And so in the morning, I just did a little soul session on myself where I connected to my soul. And I was taken to this other version of myself. Now, who knows if it's exactly a version of myself, but it was a woman who was a single mother and the father had died and she had to take care of these two kids. So she was really, because she had these two little boys, she was so strong in herself that she could handle anything. And what was amazing was that I even got her name and the area that she lived on.
You did?
So I've
Where
done
did she live?
I
mean, was she? No, I mean, like, what is it in England or?
No, it was in the States.
It was?
Yeah.
Was she a real person? Or?
Well, who knows?
Let's look her up.
So in any case, that state of anxiety just completely dissolved and suddenly I felt really I had that robustness, that strength that she had from living her challenge. And she had acquired that robustness because when her partner died, she just went, I've got to be strong for these two kids.
So you access that strength for yourself.
Yeah, so I had this download.
So
then
whether
you get
it was
transmission.
True or not doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter if these things are symbols that the psyche is projecting. It doesn't really matter. You're going to a vibrational field and you may represent it in whatever way you want to represent it.
Right.
But you get a transmission of the essential quality that you need And I went from a state of high anxiety to just feeling really robust, confident, empowered.
And that that changed everything. You did that by doing what?
Just going within, connecting to my soul, asking my soul to direct me to the aspect of myself that can give me the strongest transmission at this time to assist me with what I'm working on.
Right.
So, you know, this is just one of so many ways that you play with consciousness.
Yeah. So that's true. The ways of playing with consciousness, which we'll talk about this weekend, is infinite.
Infinite.
There are no rules for playing with consciousness what you can create in your mind. Like anything you imagine is true. It's even true physiologically. If you imagine yourself even tasting a lemon, you'll start to salivate. I mean, I do a whole exercise with people where, you know, have them cut open the lemon and bite into it. And lots of people, their bodies react.
And you know, Alan, you know those multiple personalities where one has cancer and the other one doesn't,
mm-hmm.
you know, or one has this color eye and the other one doesn't, mm-hmm. has a different color eyes. How can one body embody so many varied experiences? Because it's about the consciousness. So when that person is aligned to personality A, they've got the whole vibration of someone who's got cancer. And so their whole body responds to it and that's what shows up. And then when that personality aligns to personality B, who's healthy and a runner.
You can then shift, you're saying, that whole thing by aligning to something else.
Exactly.
The idea is getting out of your personality.
Yeah.
And how do you do that?
Well, this is what we're going to be teaching, you know.
No, but let's just help people right
yes,
now.
Yes, yeah.
If they have a, you know, let's say somebody has an illness and they've battled the personality, how do you shift that personality so the physiology changes?
Mm.
This is where multidimensionality really comes in handy.
Right. I mean, for me, there's a whole set of tools that I would use.
What,
so
like what?
One, I might look at what's created the illness. So I might go into the past.
What thoughts? What
experiences have generated a vibration in me?
What attitudes?
Yeah.
This is what Ramtha used to say. Attitude is everything. So the attitudes you have
about
yourself, the story.
So maybe you've got cancer because you had a difficult childhood. So you could go back to reimagine, to recreate those childhood experiences.
But, you know, I mean, yeah.
There's something
about people don't have to blame themselves either. There's like a way of shifting. Because people have illnesses that, you know, that they're here to work through. But
well, that's it. That's why I said there are many tools.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, one tool could just be inquiry. So here you are, you've got the illness. The first thing you could do is do some inquiry with the illness and ask what it's here to teach you. How does it want to resolve? Does it want to resolve?
Yeah. Well, I think people are here to be healthy. I think if we align to, you know, whatever it is that will transcend, you know, to the perfect being that we are, hold in our blueprints, and then let everything come up.
Yeah, but
that's
maybe
in the way.
But if something is there, it's there for a reason. So
right,
the first thing would be
to look
to
at what's in the way.
Look at it.
Yes.
What's he here to teach me?
Right.
So that might be the first thing. Then you could explore your past,
mm-hmm.
and then you could align to a probable self that is completely sort of in a different vibrational field than that.
And I think people can give up their beliefs about certain ideas they have about themselves.
For sure.
And certain ways and change patterns. Because I think when the patterns change, the personality changes, their belief systems change.
Yeah.
And so there's so many possibilities for consciousness.
That's it. There are many, many different tools when you start playing with consciousness.
Yeah, exactly. So in this group session that we'll be doing, we'll help activate people to their highest potential, which means that they're transcending the old frameworks
That's
of their
it.
Personalities.
Yes.
You know, and the other thing I think we can do is also move energy for people, like have group healings, group intentions, you know, put
mm-hmm.
someone in the middle of a room,
mm-hmm.
send them love, have them feel love,
mm-hmm.
you know, have them feel what it is to be loved,
mm-hmm.
have them receive that
mm-hmm.
from a group of people. I did that with a bunch of people. It was very powerful. Like someone stood in the middle of the room and everyone just sent them love.
Mm.
Some people can take it. Some people felt really embarrassed, very like shy. They were good at giving. Mm-hmm. Even this one guy who's like a workshop leader, he traveled, we're just kind of beaming him. He looked like such a little kid, you know? But I think that's another way of working with consciousness and intention and the field and using it to uplift people. So we're just loving people, you know, just sending them actual love. That will shift them if they can receive it, you know, unconditional love, not wanting anything from somebody, just sending them, you know, what it is to feel love. And everyone has felt that. Everyone's felt unloved too. So we've all felt all that. But if we can go to what the highest vibration, which love is not a feeling, this is kind of what I believe. It's a state of being. It's who we are. So we have the facility to move that and change that and shift that and send that out, then great.
Yeah.
And people get that. People get that. Do you want to just talk about some of the other work that you do with your metamorphic technique?
Well, I teach. I started off teaching metamorphic technique, which is a very gentle touch on the feet, hands, and head, and we're stroking lightly on these points that correspond to our time in the womb. And in essence, what this work is that rather than a healing practice, it's transformation work. And the metaphor for it is that the practitioner and the practice are the earth and the client is the seed.
Oh, really?
So all we are is a catalyst allowing them to grow themselves. We're not trying to fix them or heal them because we see them as perfect, a perfect expression of their consciousness. And yet, when that contact is made, it allows the process of life to unfold within them. So in a way, that's the beauty of this work, is that it's comes with this attitude of unconditional love, loving them enough to allow them to just be as they are and to evolve in whatever way is right for them. And it's a work where you do see a lot of quantum shifts.
You do? How? How is that shift? How do you think people shift that way?
Well, it's like when you put, let's say you have a seed and it's got all this potential for evolution and to grow into this plant, but you don't put it in the earth, nothing happens. But suddenly you put it in the earth and growth starts to happen. So that's what happens with people. Is that suddenly, you know, I've had clients who've been, say, stuck for 7 years in London trying to move out of London and nothing would line up. And then finally they have one session and everything lines up and they can
leave. Because what happens to them?
Well, they grow themselves, basically.
But how? How does that shift just touching their feet?
You're touching points that correspond to our time in the womb. So our time in the womb we see as a formative time where we set up the blueprint for our life. And so it's like touching the essence of the person is, it's like an invitation. It's like they're saying yes to life, yes to growth. And within us, there's this innate intelligence that knows what to grow in us. So if the personality has kept places stuck or kept certain parts of us from evolving, then suddenly when that contact is made, the evolution starts to happen. And for some people, it's dramatic and fast, and for some people, it's going to be very subtle.
So when you contact points that were corresponding to the womb.
Our time in the womb, our journey.
And then you give them, like, attention, you're saying?
We're just stroking them. We're just touching these points.
And what does that do, just touching them? Does it activate them, or?
It's the catalyst. It's the same catalyst that you have with earth and seed.
But why wasn't that done in the womb? Or what? Why? I mean, how? I'm just curious how. Are we traveling back in time to the womb because the imprint of the womb is in our feet?
In the womb, all these events happen.
They do?
So basically, the body is growing itself and the consciousness is establishing itself with all the patterns that are the building blocks of our character, as well as patterns that are like our life lessons. Now, these life lessons are here to grow us. So you might explore a pattern of abandonment, and in that fulfillment of that pattern, when movement comes and life evolves that pattern, then suddenly compassion arises out of that. And then suddenly you find that you have the sensitivity to go and help support people, and that's part of your purpose. That's why you've come.
Right.
And what happens is, as we go through the process of life, the personality often we'll hold back the evolution of these patterns. We'll hold back our growth as a sort of protection mechanism. Mm-hmm. And so when you have the metamorphic technique, it's basically you're giving life the signal that you're willing to allow that evolutionary process to unfold. And that's why growth happens. So personalities held things back from evolving, from expanding us, and suddenly that movement happens and the person makes a big shift.
And they do. You've seen that.
Yeah.
And you teach this.
Yeah.
And you give sessions, of course, with that.
Yeah.
Great. No, I think it's a great package you have, and you'll be traveling to Australia this year.
That's it, yeah.
To teach that.
And then I'll be in India over the winter, in Goa.
And how can people reach you?
It's metamorphicjourneys.com.
That's metamorphicjourneys.com. And we'll be doing our multidimensional workshops this week, Friday, September 18th at 7 p.m. at the Edgar Cayce Center in New York City. That is 241 West 30th in Manhattan. That is Friday, September 18th. And then on Sunday, all day, at least from 2 to 6, we'll be doing a whole activation, a whole multidimensional way of being. If you're listening to this program, come to the workshop, tell them you heard it here on New Realities Radio on BBS. And again, you know, you can just show up at the door and pay at the door. It's really reasonable. It's $15 for the Friday night and $35, which I think is kind of cheap for the Sunday afternoon. But we're there to really give out information, and then, you know, we'll be doing more in-depth sort of work as this work develops. So, again, that's 241 West 30th Street. That is Friday the 18th and Sunday the 20th. And anything else you want to say?
No, but we'd love to meet you and to share the experience with you and to create something together, basically.
Right. And I'll be doing a bunch of interviews about this anyway for my television show on YouTube. That's youtube.com/newrealities. I've recently talked to Bruce Lipton, Deepak Chopra, who's I've mentioned earlier, is a great speaker about this levels of multidimensional consciousness. I've also talked to Michael Beckwith. I also have a series of interviews coming out with Australian Aborigines that they actually live in there. What we're calling multidimensionality, they're actually calling dream time. So it's all exciting that consciousness is changing and we can actually see it, and people are stepping out of their old boxes to embrace, shall I say it, new realities. So thanks, Dominique. I've been talking to Dominique Molly Mehrhoff. And again, metamorphicjourneys.com. Anything you want to say?
No.
Before you, but just that you give classes and sessions?
Yeah, I mean, have a look on the website. There are sessions that we can do over Skype and workshops over Skype. And otherwise, I'm in New York this week and London in the summers, and anywhere in the world in the winters.
Great. And I'm here at newrealities.com. Thanks for listening, and hope to hear from you. If you want to email me, go to newrealities.com. I will be teaching some of this at Alex Gray's Chapel of Sacred Mirrors coming this fall and maybe into the winter. So, and also in some adult education classes at the it's called the Center for Living and Learning in Manhattan and the Scarsdale Adult Education Program up in Westchester. So you could always reach me at newrealities.com. Thanks for listening, and each week I have some very exciting programs. Thanks for tuning in. Good night.